The Lodge, This Foreign Plant Upon Holy Soil, by Professor Ron Kaminga. Among the issues that prompted a number of the churches of the Holland Classis of the Reformed Church in America to withdraw and establish what would become the Christian Reformed Church was the issue of lodge membership, particularly the Lodge of the Freemasons. The Freemasons is the oldest and best known of the lodges. This fraternal organization had its origins, as best can be determined, in the early 1700s. Likely the organization sprang up among the members of the Masons' Guilds, which had existed for centuries, and which had built many of the cathedrals and castles across Europe that still attract visitors today. Gradually these guilds developed into fraternal organizations, opening up their membership to those who did not share their trade, but their interests and values. The lodge is considered by many to be a child of the Enlightenment. Members were given access to the rites and rituals of the organization, but had to swear a solemn oath never to divulge the secrets of Freemasonry. The organization is based on the belief in the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of all men. It is religiously eclectic, borrowing often from the Bible, but from other religions and religious sources as well, including pagan religions. By the mid-19th century, the Freemasons had become primarily a fraternal and social organization, and to a large extent, membership in the Freemasons was an indication of how high a man had climbed the social ladder. Men of wealth, many professionals, politicians, and even the clergy joined the Freemasons, which went a long way to gaining widespread acceptance for the lodge among the people. Members claimed that the lodge was not inimical to Christianity, but completely consistent with Christian beliefs and practices. By the time the folk who had embraced the secession of 1834 made their way to America in search for greater opportunity, Freemasonry was not only found throughout Europe, but had become well established in the eastern portion of the United States. As the Dutch immigrants passed through the East Coast on their way to the colonies that had been established by Van Ralty and his fellow secessionists in western Michigan, they observed things that in their judgment were not consistent with the principles of the offsiding. They brought with them reports of objectionable beliefs and practices. One matter that was especially troubling to them was involvement of some church members and ministers in the Freemasons. From the very beginning of the Union of the Holland Classis, under the leadership of the Reverend A. C. Van Ralty, with the Reformed Church in America, the relationship was strained. More and more reports of irregularities in the East heightened tensions within the churches in Michigan and beyond. The immigrants increasingly objected to what they called the Americanization of the churches in New York and New Jersey. By Americanization, they meant worldliness. The Eastern churches had become worldly and were not living antithetically. The new settlers saw no real appreciation for what they and their leaders had fought for in the secession of 1834 in the Netherlands. One of the main indicators of creeping worldliness was the acceptance of Freemasons as members of the church. To many in the settlements in western Michigan, this was altogether objectionable. Their position was that those who belonged to the secret oath-bound societies forfeited their right to membership in the church. The two were incompatible. As early as the meeting of Classis Holland on September 26, 1853, the issue of lodge membership was raised. The judgment of the Classis was that it is not lawful for a member of the church to be a Freemason, and it is reported that all look upon it as works of darkness and thus unlawful for a church member. Gisbert Hahn, a fiery elder in the Grand Rapids congregation, was especially critical of the RCA. After worshiping for a time in the RCA congregations of Albany and Rochester, Hahn made his way to western Michigan in 1850 and settled in the colony. He brought reports of numerous irregularities in the RCA. Among other things, he also reported that many members, and even elders and ministers, were members of the Masonic Lodge. Hahn began to agitate for separation from the RCA and a return to the way things were before Reverend Van Ralty had negotiated the union with the RCA in 1850. Hahn and those who shared his viewpoint desired a formal relationship, not with the RCA, but with the denomination that they had left behind in the Netherlands, the Aufsichtsgemeinde Gereformte Kirche, their mother church. Although Vinalti and others attempted to dissuade Hahn of his viewpoint and were inclined to dismiss him as a troublemaker, newly arriving settlers substantiated Hahn's report. Many, such as Reverend Cohn Vandenbosch, pastor of the Nordelus congregation, from the beginning of his arrival in 1856, decried the Union of 1850. Vandenbosch voiced his concerns to Classis, but these concerns were never brought in any official way by Classis Holland to the General Synod of the RCA. The end result of all the turmoil was the separation of 1857 that marks the formation of what would come to be known as the Christian Reformed Church. Originally, the fledgling denomination had only two ministers, Reverend Cohn Vandenbosch, pastor of Nordelus, and Reverend H.G. Klinn, pastor of Grand Rapids, having previously served in Grashgap and Milwaukee. Besides the Nordelus and the Grand Rapids congregations, they were joined by Polkton and Grashgap and soon by Riesland. Truly a day of small beginnings. Of the four consistories that left Classis Holland and the RCA, only one sent a formal letter to the Classis informing them of their action and the reasons for their action. That was the consistory of Grashgap. Interestingly, the letter received by Classis Holland did not contain any mention of Freemasonry. This is not to say that Freemasonry was no longer an issue in the minds of the separatists. Not at all. It was well known that the conservatives in Classis Holland opposed the lodge and saw membership in the lodge as incompatible with membership in the church. It was well known that they considered the rites and rituals of the lodge to be ungodly in nature, the practice and promotion of a religion contrary to the Christian religion. They viewed the lodge as the denial of Jesus, the only Savior, in its concessions to Jews, deists, and practitioners of other religions. They viewed membership in the lodge as contrary to the antithetical calling of the child of God, whom the Apostle warns not to become unequally yoked together with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. And they viewed the oath demanded of the members of such secret organizations as an unbiblical oath, contrary to the third commandment of God's law. So well known was the opposition to the lodge that all were aware that it was something about which the secessionists were deeply concerned. For that reason, Dr. Henry Beats is right to include in his resume of what was usually objected to by those who parted ways with Classis Holland and the RCA in 1857. He writes, number 4, the toleration of Freemasons as members in good standing. End of reading. From henceforth, all the office bearers and members of the seceding churches were unanimous in the judgment that membership in the lodge was incompatible with membership in the church. Henceforth, those who were found to belong to the lodge were not tolerated, but made the object of Christian discipline. The separation of 1857 did not put an end to the issue of membership in secret organizations among members of the RCA. There continued to be differences of opinion between churches, particularly the Eastern, more established and more liberal churches, and the Western, immigrant and more conservative, churches. Some churches permitted lodge members as church members and invited them to the Lord's table. Other churches did not allow lodge members to become members or to transfer their membership, and some consistories placed known lodge members under censure. More than a decade after the CRC was established, in 1870, the RCA Classis of Holland and Wisconsin overtured the General Synod to ban membership in the lodge. The appeal of Classis Holland reads in part this way. Since the decisions of the General Synod in 1867-1869, in reference to Freemasonry, a steadily growing antipathy to secret societies has been revealed by our members. This has prompted a closer investigation of those organizations by our consistories. The more this investigation acquaints us with the outward form, the nature of the secret oath, and the known tendencies of the work of this and other secret societies, the more inward pain we feel that this foreign plant upon holy soil is permitted not only to encumber the ground, but proves harmful to the life of faith and the progress of sanctification, which is the calling of the church. End of reading. After quoting the appeal to the General Synod of the RCA, Dr. Krominga adds, "This renewing of the fight against Freemasonry was watched with great interest by the Christian Reformed Church, which had definitely opposed the Lodge in the secession of 1857. This renewing of the battle against the Lodge within the RCA came to naught. Although the General Synod discouraged Lodge membership and pointed out the evils associated with membership in the Lodge, it refused to outlaw such membership. It was clear that too many of its members and clergy belonged to the Lodge to allow the RCA to take a firm stand and uproot this foreign plant upon holy soil. Concessions were made, concessions that undermined God's truth and the life of the antithesis to which God's people are called. Nevertheless, the result of this agitation was that between 1881 and 1882, 8 RCA congregations left the denomination, as well as various groups of believers who organized 7 new congregations, all of whom affiliated with the CRC. The Protestant Reformed churches embrace wholeheartedly the opposition to the Lodge on the part of the secessionists of 1857. In a pamphlet written by Dr. William Maeselink, likely published in the mid to late 1950s, he reports concerning the Protestant Reformed churches that the Lodge member is positively barred from their communion. This is the position to which the PRC remained committed. For the sake of the truth of the gospel and Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, as well as the holy antithetical life of gratitude that includes separation from the world, we call Lodge members to repent of their sin of membership in the Lodge in order to be faithful members of the Church.